Are you ready for real hope and change, the kind that lasts forever? Are you ready to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to become born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Do you want all your sin and shame expunged from your record? Would you like to begin a marvelous, brand new life with a new Father, new name, new eternal purpose, and a new power to live a Christian life? God said, man said, has marvelous news. Today is your day of salvation. Today could be the best day of your life. And as you apply your childlike faith, tomorrow will be better. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Leviticus 25:2-7, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow the field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land shall all the increase thereof be meat. God said, Leviticus 25:20-22. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. God said, Leviticus 25:11-12, a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. God said, Leviticus 19:19, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with thy diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. God said, Deuteronomy 22:9, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Man said, agricultural science has shown us a better way. Now the record. It's just not possible. You cannot do the wrong thing and expect the right results. You cannot disregard the truth and not eat the fruits of a lie. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Man has mocked God, disrespecting his words, and the results are deadly in so many unexpected ways. Welcome to God Said, Man Said. This is feature article 613 that will once again prove the inerrancy of your majority text authorized King James Version of the Holy Bible. All of these features are archived on this site in text and streaming audio for the edification of the saints and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. These are the very last days. Our childlike faith in God's word will alone be our salvation. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. Thank you for coming. Following is a few foundational paragraphs from the God Said, Man Said feature, EPA, Give the Land Its Sabbath. Every commandment of God has inherent within it a blessing or a curse. God's commandments are not given to man for God's benefit, but for man's. Because God's word is the inerrant truth, to reject it generates the curse, which is simply the result of doing the wrong thing. When God's words in the Holy Bible are disregarded, the consequences reveal themselves in different levels of death. For example, God commands against fornication of any kind, that's any kind of sex outside of the marriage bed. today, over 70 million Americans have sexually transmitted warts and lesions on their bodies, and that is just one issue. Sexually transmitted diseases abound. God commands against the consumption of alcoholic beverages. In America, there are over 13 million alcoholics and multitudes more who suffer from alcohol abuse. God commands against homosexuality. In addition to horrendous medical and mental troubles, homosexuals experience a serious deficiency in life expectancy. God commands against putting anything damaging into your body. Every day in the United States, there are over 20 million instances of illegal drug consumption. It is incontrovertible. When God's Word and the Holy Bible are disregarded, the consequences reveal themselves in different levels of death. Those who are shouting for proof can stop right here. Several features on God Said, Man Said address the issue of God's perfect commandments concerning the Sabbath of the land. Carnaldom will, without fail, reject the Word of God. They will seek a remedy outside the commandment. Instead of success, they will reap compound dilemmas, and it is glaringly obvious in regard to the Sabbath of the land. As a result of rejecting the Sabbath of the land, the overworked soil suffers mineral depletion, which results in deficient crops as well as pest infestations. The workaround remedies include chemical fertilizers, dangerous pest control chemicals, as well as genetically manipulated seeds. Unfortunately for the people of the earth, the workaround has serious detrimental side effects to man and beast. Again, in the God Said, Man Said feature, EPA Give the Land Its Sabbath, you will find the following. In Robert Boyd's book, Scientific Facts in the Bible, found in the Library of Congress, we find the following concerning the land and its Sabbath. A surefire remedy for pest control was given centuries ago, yet we are plagued today with insects, oftentimes with no remedy. Moses commanded Israel to set aside 1 year in seven when no crops were raised. God promised sufficient harvest in the sixth year to provide for this period. Following this plan, here's what would happen. Insects winter in the stalks of last year's harvest, hatch in the spring, and are perpetrated by laying eggs in the new crop. Now, if 1 year in seven no crops were raised, there is nothing for the insects to subsist upon, and the pests are controlled by this method. Our method today is crop rotation, but we are still pestered with insects. God's ways are not man's ways. Man will never approach God's method. Then there was the year of Jubilee. After every seven sabbatical years, every 50th year, the Jubilee served to eliminate the insects which were not affected by the 1 year in seven sabbatical, end of quote. A national move was underway in Israel to restore the Sabbath of the land commandment. Many farmers there have already implemented the principle. God's Sabbath of the land is the solution to pest control and mineral management and the real remedy for agricultural dead zones, end of quote. Several other informative excerpts from the web feature The Land Sabbath follow. It is a well-established agricultural fact that resting the land every 7 years is best for the soil and that much improved crops result from doing so. During this scriptural practice, there was to be no pruning or planting in the seventh year, nor any attempt to kill the insects or otherwise interfere with the natural processes in the field. The fruit had to remain in the field except for what passerby, servants, or owners plucked to eat. No real harvesting was permitted, only eating. By this rest, the soil is restored and revitalized. By allowing the field to go to weeds, the weeds of the field are given the opportunity to bring the topsoil minerals from below and to revitalize the soil. The vines and trees are given the free growth, unpruned, and again renew their vitality. The fruits which fall and rot again contributes to the soil. The value of the Sabbath in regenerating the soil is very great. This biblical practice also greatly reduces the need for pesticides and herbicides. But man, lacking faith, prefers his own work to Elohim's work and his proposed work to Elohim's Sabbath. Elohim's method is called crude, and modern sprays, manufactured fertilizers, and other devices are used, and the soil is steadily mined and abused. The soil is treated as something science can make and remake and even do without. Very few scientists treat the soil with any respect. The function of microorganisms in the soil and the value of compost and trees in regenerating the soil is great. So is the value of wild animals and birds in the life cycles of the earth. The earth is clearly renewed by rest. End of quote. Agriculture has more biblical problems than just disobeying God concerning the Sabbath of the land. Consider mingled seed, again from the land's Sabbath. Leviticus 19:19, "Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with thy diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed." Deuteronomy 22:9, "Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seed, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled." Only non-hybrid, open-pollinated seed will produce volunteer crops large enough to feed the needy as well as the animals during the 7th, 8th, and 9th years. Such seed will also restore nutritional value to our foods and the health to our nation. End of quote. Death and sorrow dwell in the sowing of disobedience. The title of the October 2012 issue of Psychology Today reads, "Stealth Attack," and the subhead reads, "There's troubling new evidence that common pesticides persisting on foods are undermining physical and mental health." The surprising part is that problems occur at doses everyone thought were safe. The following excerpts are from that 9-page feature. An unprecedented phenomenon is plaguing American agriculture. Honeybees are disappearing. Starting in 2006, the population of honeybee hives around the United States has dropped by roughly 30% each year, an event now known as bee colony collapse disorder. Some individual colonies have lost up to 90% of their bees. Bees are essential to farming. The United States Department of Agriculture estimates that bee pollinization contributes more than $15 billion annually to crop values. The plight of the bees may also be incredibly important to human health. In fact, says Chensheng Liu of the Harvard School of Public Health, bees could be serving as a canary in the coal mine. In the summer of 2010, Liu, an associate professor of environmental exposure biology, began a 14-week field experiment. At each of four different sites, he set up 5 hives and supplied the food most commonly and cheaply used to sustain bees over the winter months, high fructose corn syrup. In 4 of those 5 hives, the corn syrup was spiked with varying amounts of the pesticide imidacloprid. The 5th hive served as a control. Nothing was added to the corn syrup. The 20 hives buzzed with about 80,000 bees each. Imidacloprid is currently one of the most widely used pesticides in the world. A neurotoxin, it causes swift death by paralysis. It blocks specific receptors in an insect's central nervous system so that nerve cells cannot take up the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, which is essential for muscle function. Since 2004, the chemical has been sprayed on the vast majority of corn crops and especially genetically modified corn seed to eliminate insects such as aphids, termites, and beetles. Corn is by many multitudes America's largest farm product. Studies have shown that imidacloprid makes its way from the germinating seed into the growing plant and then into the corn kernels. Liu suspected that the timing of the disappearance of America's bees was significant. Beekeeping is an ancient practice. Little has changed over time, except the use of high fructose corn syrup as winter food in place of more valuable honey. It is made from sugars extracted from corn kernels. 13 weeks after imidacloprid was first added to their food supply, Liu's bees began dying in such significant numbers that 2 hives were completely dead. Within 23 weeks, 15 of the 16 hives exposed to the insecticide were empty, and the hives getting the highest dosage died off the fastest. But bees also died on a dosage of 20 parts per billion, which is less than they would encounter when foraging crops sprayed as seed. Only 1 control hive died from an outbreak of dysentery. The results from this study show a profound and devastating effect of low levels of imidacloprid and high fructose corn syrup on honeybee colonies, Liu and his colleagues reported earlier this year in the Bulletin of Insectology. Virtually simultaneously, other studies reported equally disturbing effects. One found that the pesticide disrupts performance of the so-called waggle dance, a mid-air maneuver bees engage in to make them visible to other hive members and alert them to the location of good food sources. Worker bees wind up bringing back far less food to the colony, and as a result, colonies produce far fewer queen bees. Imidacloprid exposure also disrupts the internal navigation system of bees. They can't find their way home after foraging. If Liu's study of imidacloprid and bee colony collapse disorder proves anything, it's that the acute pesticide toxicity is scarcely the only threat to health. Exposure to high enough doses of imidacloprid indeed kills through acute toxicity. Badly exposed bees don't even make it back to the hive. But what no one predicted was that extremely low doses would also be deadly. Born by stealth in high fructose corn syrup, they get directly into the hives and create the bigger threat of mass extinction far downstream from contact with treated seeds. The levels of exposure to imidacloprid were so low in Liu's study that he draws a sobering conclusion. There's really no safe dosage of imidacloprid for bees. That's an opinion echoed by the governments of Germany, France, and Italy, which have all suspended use of the insecticide. The EPA has jurisdiction over pesticide levels in foods. The USDA monitors residue levels in meat and eggs, and the Food and Drug Administration enforces standards for produce and the rest of the food supply. But no one, Liu notes, monitors residue levels of imidacloprid and high fructose corn syrup because it is not marketed directly to consumers. This study points out that sublethal, low dosages of pesticides are causing adverse health outcomes, the Harvard biologist explains. What's more, he says, the results indicate that just like the bees in his study, people may be unwittingly exposed to small amounts of imidacloprid that are subtly undermining human health. The agrochemical industry and regulators do not accept evidence from insects as proof that human health is at risk. Without an abundance of human data, says Liu, this pesticide can still be used for another 20 or 30 years. There is very little data on human exposure to imidacloprid. Nevertheless, a spate of recent epidemiological studies establishes troubling connections between low-dose exposure to a variety of common pesticides and conditions ranging from attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in children to neurodegenerative conditions such as Parkinson's disease later in life, end of quote. The article continues, quoting epidemiologist Brenda Eskenazi of the University of California at Berkeley. As the scientific community gains better understanding of the neurotoxic and hormone-disrupting effects of low-dose pesticides, one theme recurs. The current ways of defining exposure are no longer sufficient. Tying everything to non-observable doses, deciding the safe dose based purely on the level that doesn't cause a visual effect on a mouse or rat is not going to protect human or even ecological health, says Liu. The system we have been using since the birth of the EPA needs to be completely overhauled. Dosage no longer seems to matter. One way or another, poison is still poison, end of quote. It is not possible to disrespect the commandment of God without suffering the curse of doing the wrong thing. God's word is truth, and that's simply the nature of truth. Eat organic as much as possible, and especially organic products from farmers who obey the law of the Sabbath of the land. These are the very last days, and now more than ever, our childlike faith is pivotal and certainly extending to the supper plate. 1 Timothy 4:4-5, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. A serious prayer before you dine is greatly recommended. Thousands of years ago, God gives a perfect commandment concerning proper husbandry of the land. Man has rejected God's word, and the consequences reveal themselves in different levels of death. This is just another proof that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God said, Leviticus 25:2-7, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land shall all the increase thereof be meat." God said, Leviticus 25:20-22, "And if ye shall say, What shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow, neither gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, and eat yet of old fruit until the 9th year, until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." God said, Leviticus 25:11-12, "A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field." God said, Leviticus 19:19, "Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed." God said, Deuteronomy 22:9, "Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled." Man said, "Agricultural science has shown us a better way. Now you have the record."